So I'm going to read out of Isaiah chapter 60, verse 15 to the end, 22. He talks about Israel, Jerusalem, and what he did and what happened. And then at the end he says, though you were once despised and hated, with no one traveling through you, I will make you beautiful forever. A joy to all generations, powerful kings and mighty nations. Powerful kings and mighty nations will meet your every need. As though you were a child nursing at the breast of a queen, you will know at last that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And I will exchange your bronze for gold and your iron for silver, your wood for bronze and your stones for iron. And I will make peace your leader and righteousness your ruler. Violence will disappear from your land. The desolation and the destruction of war will end, and salvation will surround you like city walls, and praise will be on the lips of all who enter there. Verse 19, no longer will you need the sun to shine by day, nor the moon to give its light by night, for the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set, your moon will never go down, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning will come to an end, and all your people will be righteous. They will possess their land forever, for I will plant them there with my own hands in order to bring myself glory. This is verse 22. It says, the smallest family will become 1,000 people, and the tiniest group, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. So no matter what it looks like today, keep your faith strong. God can change your story and turn your sorrow into joy. His timing is never late. It's always perfect. Keep praying. Don't quit. Miracles happen every day. So never stop believing, because God can change things very quickly in your life. Trust God. Amen. Amen. Let's praise the Lord.
Your peace. thank you for your grace. Your mercy is never ending. It is new every morning. evidence of his goodness and his promises in us. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, you never leave us. You never forsake us. All things work together for good to those who love you, Lord, to those who are called according to your purpose. Thank you for your Spirit that dwells inside, that leads and guides us to righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for using us, filling us, pouring out of us, just to refill us again. Thank you for those promises. Thank you for the evidence, Lord, that others see. Lord, that they want what we have. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you. the goodness of God.
Let's go to Colossians again, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. Probably have that one pretty much memorized by now. It's been 3 weeks, same topic, but a little different direction. Colossians 1:27. And it's a good, really good scripture. It says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? But in Christ, we are living in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when I say presence, I mean we are living literally, because what Jesus did on the cross, he tore the veil. But with that, there is still a place to go beyond the veil to a place called eternity now. And every word spoken in Christ through us, every promise given, and every purpose of God in us will be realized in time. God's at work in us. He who began a good work in us will complete it. Amen? And I've learned that a lot of the work that's being done in me is an inside job. A lot of transformation starts on the inside before it ever becomes seeable or external for others to see. God's doing work in all of us in different ways and different stages because he loves us. Amen? And he's trying to transform us into the likeness of his son, who he loves too. So you see, eternity is now. The day you were born again, you are already there. Say, I'm already there. So hope is alive mixed with the faith and love of God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 1, Galatians 5, 1. It says, stand fast. That means hold on. Don't move. Don't quit. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. How many know what the yoke of bondage is? The world. Amen? Where we came out of. Indeed, he says, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. 613 commandments. Not 10. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. So you don't have to worry about that with most of us. We're not trying to keep the law, amen? We're just taking all the grace we can get, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. We start in grace, we live in grace, we die in grace, amen? Because we need grace. For we through the Spirit, us through the Spirit, makes the new covenant a living, eternal Spirit covenant. We eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, verse 6, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. And these next four words, 5 words, how many know 5 is a number of? Grace. So next 5 words, but faith, working through what? Love. Working through love. That's the important part. Amen? See, the natural world around us does not define us, nor do they understand us. See, God's word defines us. He defines us as sons of God and daughters of God. Amen? His presence assures us, and his love surrounds us. And that's good. And today, as we come to grips with who we are in Christ, remember to let go of all the natural restraints of unfulfilled promises and all your past disappointments. Who's ever had a disappointment before? Can I give you one little key that I learned from Dr. Jack Hayford years ago? I learned this probably almost 30 years ago. He says, whenever you get to the word disappointment, this is what you do. You drop the D and you put an H there, and that's his appointment. Even when you're disappointed, you put an H there, because God clearly is doing something greater than you could see at the moment in your circumstance. You know, we have a tendency to want to quit at that point or start questioning God. And the biggest question we always ask God is, why me? And then your mind, your flesh wakes up and goes, what did you do? You did doo-doo. That's what you did. Don't do anything. Don't think that way. Think about what God is doing, because he's doing something in us at all times. Amen? But today, as we come to grips and we understand that his presence assures us and his love surrounds us, we come to grips with who we are in Christ. But we have to let go of unfulfilled promises. They got to go. We got to let go of past disappointments and follow ourselves to step into eternity now. Say now. I mean, today's a new day. Amen? And all of God's promises for your life are yes and amen. Where God's promises in the Bible are 7,700. You know, how much is that going to be fulfilled in a lifetime? I don't think I'll get it all. Just in my little bit of time on this earth. Amen? But John gives us three main components. Little John, not big John. So John gives us three main components of our spiritual growth in 1 John. And what it looks like and how it changes us from the inside out. Number one, in Christ, we receive courageous faith. I mean, what Anita's doing takes courageous faith. You don't start leaving America's soil and going to a foreign area or another place without courageous faith. In Christ, we receive courageous faith. In Christ, we receive the ability. Whenever you see the word ability or you hear that word, it's best defined by the word grace. Grace is God's ability in you. He gives you the ability that you can't do it. You don't have the strength. You don't have the ability. He puts it in you. Remember, he's in you. Christ in you. Three words, Christ in you. He gives you the ability. He even gives you the ability to believe. He gives you the ability to have faith. He gives you the ability to be obedient. He gives it to you as a gift. It's all included in that big gift of Romans 5, the gift of righteousness. It's all included. Amen? And so we receive the ability, what? In Christ, we receive the ability to love the Word of God that changes us on a constant basis. It's always, if you're in it every day, you'll be changed every day. If you're in it once a week or once a year, there ain't much happening. You know what I'm saying? So, but in Christ, we now have the ability to defeat the evil one through our union with Christ who is living in us. Christ in you, as you are completing the work that he began in us, will complete it until we are face to face with Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus lived on this earth, he lived in the now of faith, so was not moved by what he saw. Jesus was not moved by what he saw. How many know that a lot of us got a lot of growing up and learning to do about that deal? Amen. How many know some of us are very controlled by what we see? Turn on the TV and see what? Most TV movies have one element in them all the time, and it's called revenge. When you can't get your way, make sure you get it at some point and get back. Because that's what most Hollywood movies are based on. A lot of revenge and a lot of death. And there's one thing about God's word, it's all about life. He came to give us life. He came to give us love. He came to give us joy. And he came to give us his power over our circumstances. Amen? And we saw the Father and did what? Because Jesus said he only does what the Father's doing. He doesn't do anything else. He accomplished miracles, signs, and wonders. I mean, when I look at all of you, you're signs and wonders to me. Because you're all miracles. Because you're all a new creation, a new breed. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen? But he also did not fight for his life or seek his own goals or he command stones to be turned into bread or jump off temples. He could have. I mean, he had the power to turn bread into stones into bread. He remained submitted to his Father and what he wanted to happen in his life, just like we should be doing. We should be asking God every single day, Lord, what is my purpose for today? What will happen today? Amen? We should be asking the Holy Spirit to lead us. We should be walking. The Bible says the just don't live by sight, they live by faith. We have to stop living by sight because our tendency is to follow. When we live by sight, we're living by the flesh. Amen? Jesus was hidden in God, it says. Like ours says, it also says we're supposed to be hidden in Christ. So what do? We learn day by day, month by month, year by year to live in his presence and enjoy God now, every day. I enjoy him every day. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going up to God and giving him a high five, you know. I say, oh, God, you did a great thing in me today. Amen. Give him a high five for a good thing when you start seeing him working in your life. And when the Holy Spirit directs us and leads us, we are reassured that it will come to pass. We live in the confidence as he is at work within us. Amen. How many know it's an inside job? Say, it's an inside job. Because Christ is living in me. And he's always doing something in us, changing something, changing our attitude, changing our belief systems. He's always at work in us. Amen? Let's go to one more scripture. 2 Peter. Yeah, 2 Peter 1:4 is where I'm going to be right now. Remember, church, you're greatly loved by God. Greatly loved. You were sent here by God to be here and to make a choice. Heaven or hell. You get the choice. You get the choice. And I know most of you in this room, y'all made the right choice. We're all going to heaven. Amen? You're a highly favored and bring much pleasure to the Father's heart in our lives. We bring pleasure to God by just being in his presence and loving him and asking him. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Learning to live by faith. How do you do it? Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Just keep asking the Holy Spirit. Even when you trip, fall, mess up, you know what's neat? I learned this from Pastor Glenn back there. He's not a pastor, but he taught me this. He says, Mike, when you fail, you're seven steps ahead. Your head's over here, and your feet are over here. And when you get up over here, you're farther ahead. So failure ain't bad because you're moving forward. How many's ever failed? I failed. Have you ever failed? If you didn't ever fail, then we'll have an altar call for you. Learn to live by faith and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. To be totally reliant on him for everything we need. Can I just give you a prophetic word? Stop living by sight and start living by faith. Learn to live by faith. Faith in the fact that God knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for your future. And he's in the future. He doesn't even ask you to know your future. He just says, trust me. I've got it set for you. Everything's in order. You don't have to worry about anything. I'm there in the future. It's just like when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac. He was willing to sacrifice Isaac. But God intervened and says, no, you're not killing this boy. And then he turned and he looked in the thicket next to him. And there was a ram that was stuck in the thicket. Because God provided. His future was in the ram, not in Isaac dying. But he was willing. Because he loved Jesus and he loved God. He loved the Father. Amen? He had great faith, yes. He was walking by faith. You know, because everybody kept asking him, who's going to be the sacrifice? He had the wood, he had the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And he never would tell them. He never would say who it was, even though it was Isaac. But in Christ, our dwelling place is in heaven, and we have been given unlimited access to enjoy eternity now. Say unlimited access to enjoy eternity.
Thank you.
scripture, and I'm done. Ephesians 2:6, I want you to understand this. And it says, and he raised us up together and made us sit. He raised us up together in the Spirit and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Coming here to church every Sunday is a heavenly place. One of the places, because places is plural. It's one of the places. And I'm going to be talking about more places in coming weeks. God bless. Have a great week.